Listen to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello, good work. Oh, I'm going to start again. Good welcome. I don't think I'm just going to leave that in. Good welcome. Good welcome. Are you ready?
Hey, that was me.
That was you. It was indeed. Hello and welcome to another edition of Shoot the Defence on FNX. I'm your host, Stel, and I have two co-hosts with me. It's Mr. Yannick SJ. How are you doing?
Yeah, morning, mate. You all right?
Morning? Well, it is morning in Australia, so to all our Australian listeners, good morning.
Absolutely.
How are you doing, Jan?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. We haven't spoken for a while, so nice to be back on.
Oh, nice to have you back, since it's been like a week since you last spoke.
A week and 2 days, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, because it's not Monday, is it?
There you go. So.
Oh, well, you've been counting down the days. Have you got a flower ripping off the petal saying, he loves me not?
I'm not telling you.
Oh, come on, it's Mother's Day coming up soon. I could be your mama. None of this gender neutral stuff.
I'm not replying to that.
Okay, fair enough. I like your mum. She's cool.
Oh.
How is she anyway? It's been a while since we last saw her.
Yeah, she's good, mate. She's downstairs up to me. You said hello.
Oh yeah, send her my love, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, I will.
How's
your mum and dad?
Everyone alright? Yeah, my mum and dad. You saw my dad. In fact, I think you seen my dad last time before I did, actually.
Yeah, I did, yeah. He had the nicest things to say about you.
did he? Was the word idiots thrown in? Because I seem to get that a lot from my dad.
It was in the context. It was one of them.
Yeah, thank you very much. Cheers, Dad. I don't think he's listening. He's still doing that bloody podcast. You're going to fucking do something about it.
Time, Ray. Why you waste your time?
When are you going to fucking do something about it? Cheers, Dad. I've only been on TalkSport a few times and BBC and yeah, but you know. Yeah, you keep pretending to be a guitarist. Anyway, I love him really, honestly. Yeah, speaking of fathers, Lilla, how you doing, mate? Great to have you back.
Hello, guys, you right?
Yeah, mate, you're a father of three, so you feel the pain more than we do. Jan having one, me having one.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of pain, trust me. There's a lot of pain. Nah, they're great. They're just getting a bit feisty now as they're getting older.
Mm-hmm. And your boy's a bit of a baller, isn't he?
Yeah, he loves playing, loves it. I enjoy it as well. To be honest, it's taking away the pain of not playing anymore. Watching your little one playing games. So yeah, it's all good, mate. Everyone's good. My daughter's now 13.
Wow.
I think the first time I went on a show, I think she was six.
Yeah,
the oldest one.
Yeah, when it's been that long. Jeez.
Yeah, or maybe, yeah, six or seven, something like that. So, yeah, they're getting older now, mate. They're getting older.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of your lad, what skills has he inherited from you?
He's actually inherited my left foot.
Ah.
He's okay. A lefty, like I was. But I've got to be honest with you. At his age, when I was his age, I was nowhere close to his ability that he's got now. You know what I mean? So that's a good sign, I'd say.
Yeah, good. Well, he must have the skills of his mother then, because if
he's got his mother's temperament, 100%.
Oh well, if he had your temper,
yeah. If he had my temper, forget it, mate. He wouldn't be playing
Joe Barton,
mate. To be honest, he gets fouled and gets up and shakes people's hands.
What is this tonight? Is this like the generation show? I'm from mum's dad's. Girlfriend's wife.
Or shall we go through exes as well? Because you know we can do that. You know, I don't think they're listening.
Swerve.
I don't know who's had the worst experience with exes, Jan or me. But I think that's for another podcast.
I think I'm the problem.
You're the problem.
I guess not. Well, yeah, I think so.
Well, I don't know. It's those sweaty palms whenever you and I play Liverpool, mate.
Sweaty palms, whoever United are playing these days. Could be fairly sweaty.
This is how we're doing the show. Everyone that's listening at the moment, this is what we're doing. This is effectively it. And speaking of gentlemen, it's Rodri Giggs.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing, mate? You good?
Yeah, I'm all right, you?
Yeah, you sound happy. Did Wales win tonight?
Yeah, late winner.
Okay.
Who got it, Rod?
Woodburn.
Woodburn.
Get in, lads.
Rod's had a busy week. He's had a happy week. He Wales won the Rugby World Cup. He won a bit of money at the races, and now Wales, the football team, won.
World Cup?
Yeah, the Rugby World Cup.
That sounds like a bitter Englishman, that.
I don't even know anything about rugby. Like, I thought when they were saying that Wales won the cup, I was like, what, the World Cup? Like, is it done already? There's like six teams in it, seven teams in it. I was like, rah, like, really? What happened to New Zealand and Australia? But it was just...
World Cup's later in the year, it's October.
Ah, okay.
Still, that's why it's called the Six Nations, mate, because there's six nations playing in it.
Well, yeah, now you tell me. I didn't know. I thought it was seven, to be fair. They called it the Six Nations, but I thought it was seven. Oh, Christ. But hey, anyway, good to have you back on, Rod.
Yeah, cheers. Good to be back on.
Excellent. Right. Well, we've got a few games to discuss, so let's do this as quickly and as painfully as possible. We're now down to four teams because the FA Cup semi-final draw is made. Sete, their quest for the quadruple continues after coming from two down to beat Swansea 3-2. They will face Brighton in the semi-final, who beat Millwall on penalties. Wolves is 2-1 victory over a quite hopeless Man United, earned them a semi-final clash against Watford, who also won 2-1, but against Crystal Palace. Andy, I don't know if you watched the Swansea-Man City game. Swansea really gave it a go, and I think we're quite unlucky with the penalty decision that went against them. I know the goalkeeper, Nordville, was having the game of his life. It was kind of like a FIFA goalkeeping performance, wasn't it? That being said, on the balance of play, I think City deserved the win, didn't they?
Yeah, they deserved the win. You know, it was a great, great second goal from Swansea. Really, really well worked and a brilliant finish at the end. And to go 2-0 up. And I just thought, positions, again, in that match to give them, you know, Aguero's winner was offside as well, wasn't it? You know, yeah. So... And then Sterling went down a little easy there. So, listen, on the balance of play, it's inevitable. City were going to have most of the ball and a lot of the chances. But I think that could have been another one of them. Was it Wigan they lost to?
That's right, yeah.
Last year, 1-0. Yeah,
that's right.
It could have been another one of them games that could have happened to them. I was just a little bit baffled as to how there was no VAR in that match, yet in the other quarterfinals there was VAR. Do you know what I mean? It's the same competition. To be honest, if you're going to have VAR for a competition, surely you've got to have them in all the games, right?
It's because Swansea are a Championship side, so they don't use it at lower league.
Yeah, but I find it, you know, I just find it...
It's rubbish, yeah.
Yeah, I find it farcical. But listen, like you said, still, they deserve to win the game. You know, it was wave after wave of attacks. But again, it was they got a few lucky decisions there, I felt, which got them the break.
Yeah, true. I don't know if you saw this. There's a guy called Craig Mitch. Now, I've met Craig once. He seems like a good lad anyway. And he was on BBC Radio 5, and he was saying that, you know, regardless of if VAR was there or not, Man City still would have beaten Swansea. And it did cause a bit of a stir. But at the same time, it goes back to what you said, Andy, about Wigan beating Man City. They beat them last season. They're a division below Swansea, aren't they?
Yeah.
Or they were, anyway. So I think that comment is a bit far-fetched, to say the least. But anyway, let's move on. Jan, Millwall, they had one foot in the semi-final until David Martin let Solly March's free kick literally slip through his hands. Brighton went on to win 5-4 on penalties. It's a bit of a cruel way to end Millwall's cup run, isn't it? Because they did really well knocking out Everton, and they practically used the same tactics against Brighton in terms of getting the ball in the box and using their aerial ability. But, you know, being 2-1 up in the 95th minute, you know, and the goalkeeper dropping a clanger like that, it's a bit cruel, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I mean, if you're leading the game 2-0 in the 88th minute and then somebody tells you you're actually going to go out the cup at the end of the game, you know, you find it a little bit hard to believe. But, I mean, Millwall to get where they did is a fantastic achievement anyway, considering, the lack of squad that they've got and that they've been struggling in the Championship this season as well. The only implication I'll say, or worry if I was a Millwall fan, is the backlash of it. How would kind of that result dent their confidence? Because that, you know, the battering for relegation in the Championship. So, you know, would that have an effect going back into the Championship? The fact that they were so close to reach Wembley and then they've gone out in the way that they did. You know, it's down to Neil Harris now, and, you know, and a good friend of the show like Steve Morrison, you know, like the older heads to kind of get the players together and make sure that their season doesn't collapse now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And back to you, Andy. Andre Gray, he was a super sub as his winner put Watford into the semi-final. Now, with their Premier League survival pretty much guaranteed, I'd say it is anyway. I said a few weeks ago, they've probably got the deck chairs out. I actually think that Watford have got a really good chance of winning the cup this season. I know, obviously, it's down to the last four, but because of their league run, and that's probably the only thing they've got to play for, doesn't that put them in a stronger position than the other teams?
Yeah, I like their manager. Like Gracias. The way he plays attacking football. And Andre Gray, he really makes a difference as well when he comes. He's a bit of a super sub at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, comes on and scores goals. He's got a good pace, good finish as well. It was a really good game as well, that match. And they're drawn against who have Watford been drawn against?
Wolves.
And I was just going to say, I think obviously you're going to get onto the Wolves Man United match. I think looking at both of them sides, I would say Wolves are probably better equipped to beat Man City.
I agree.
They could defend.
I agree.
I think Watford are a little bit open, aren't they? I mean, they've come up against Liverpool and Man City in the last couple of weeks, and I think they conceded like 9 goals, haven't they, in both their matches?
Yeah.
So I think Wolves are probably better equipped out of them two sides there, but. Yeah, they do have a chance, mate. You know, with, like you said, with the deck chairs out in the Premier League, they're just going to put all their eggs in that basket, and they really, really work hard to get to the final. And then, as you know, still in finals, it's if they can get there, it's on the day, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the luck on the day.
The only thing is, Andy, I agree what you said. Wolves are probably better equipped out of the other three teams, or the three teams remaining, to beat Manchester City in the final if City get there. The thing is, I've noticed that Wolves tend to struggle against the likes of Watford because they can't play the system that they play, because it's another team that likes to sit back and defend deep. So are we going to see kind of like a back and forth, whereas both teams are going to be sitting back hoping to play on the counter? I don't know. I think Watford have got a big chance of winning this.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's when Wolves do play the it's almost like their mentality changes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know? That's going to be a really, really good game, the Watford Wolves match. I personally believe Wolves will get to the final, but you just never know, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. And Rod, I know you've always been kind of like a glass half full United fan, but I'm sure even you would agree the performance against Wolves was absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah, it was a poor result, but you know, it was. We haven't seen that for how long? For 14, 15 games. So yeah, it's disappointing because it was a quarter final and you expect, you know, it's a massive chance for us to get a cup. But you know, let's not get too disappointing. Let's not slit our wrists like Jan was doing on Twitter the other day.
Well, he's still here, so he must have bandaged them up, right?
Pardon?
He's still here, so he must have bandaged them up, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, just a bit OTT, but you know, you just got to put it in perspective. We've still got the same team we did with Mourinho. Nothing's changed. He's just changed the mentality of the players. The club's in a better place. But there's no getting away that we still need players. We need at least two or three, if not four, quality players in. So that's not changed. But you know, yeah, it was disappointing, and ultimately, you know, a massive chance missed to get a big cup.
That's right. And Andy, Wolves, they also knocked out your lot earlier on in the competition, and they've stuck to that 5-4-1 system throughout the competition and throughout the season. Espirito Santo really gets his tactics spot on against the big clubs. Why do you think that is?
I just think it's that what we said before about the mentality against the top sides. They really do turn it on and defend well. I really like their striker, Raul Jimenez. I think he really holds the ball up well, and he's got brilliant link-up play with that Jota. So they automatically become a threat when we're in the final third, because Jimenez holds the ball up well, and Jota makes some really, really good runs in behind defenders. So they're a big threat. I was going to say, though, the best team equipped to beat Man City to get in the final was going to be United. So it was disappointing for them not to get through, because, you know, it was just like what Rod said. It was just one of their performances where United have done well in the last, 14, 15 games. And it's just almost like they've just run out of steam in that match, sort of run out of ideas.
And sorry to interrupt, Andy. You've got to give Wolves credit, because they have given the top sides a very good game. They should have beat City early in the season, and they've given the teams a good game.
I really like Wolves. I think they're a really good side.
I do. I like to watch them.
I think they've got brilliant players. I mean, the two midfielders, Neves and Moutinho, and then they bring on the young, what's his name? Long name.
Dendonkov.
No, the young English boy. He's got a long...
White, someone, in it? Is it White? Gibson White? No?
Yes. So when he comes on as well, he just changes the dynamic of everything. Such a good little player. I think they're a really, really good side, Wolves, Rod. And I actually, next year, back them to really try and break into that top six.
Mm.
They've got money behind them as well, haven't they?
Yeah.
And they've got the contacts, haven't they, with Mendes?
Yeah. No, I'll tell you what, it's really, really exciting times for them. I remember Wolves used to be the whooping boys, didn't they? You know, they're nothing like that now. Anyone who plays Wolves game, and they thoroughly deserve the win, Rod, against Man United, 100%, mate. So they do deserve all the credit, definitely.
Superb. Right, gents, shall I ask who you think is going to win the cup? Because Andy mentioned Man City. They're obviously the overwhelming favourites, but can you see any other one of the three? I mean, I fancy Watford, to be fair, but anyway, that's my call.
Who you ask me?
Anyway.
A City for me, mate. I can't see past City. I just think they've got too much for everyone, mate. Yeah. I think they've got too much for everyone, yeah.
Well, you asked the question, I think, about, you know, two rounds ago, and I said a dark horse were Watford at the time before they even reached the semi, so I'm going to still stick with Watford.
Okay. Jan Stradamus.
Yeah.
Rod?
Yes, who is it? City, Watford, Wolves
and Brighton.
Yeah, the best to quit for that. Well, the only chance, it's going to be City, but, you know, best chance of anything, anyone else, it's going to be Wolves. But I agree with you, which dealt with them playing Watford, they seem to not do so well. So yeah, it's a 50-50 game, that. But if Wolves get to the final, they've got a 20% chance of winning. But City turn it on and they've got no chance.
Great stuff. Okay, well, there were, of course, a few Premier League games over the weekend too. And Andy, your boys, Liverpool, ground out a 2-1 win at Fulham. Sadio Mane made it 11 goals in 11 games to give Liverpool the lead. Mate, he's been absolutely immense this season, and he's really stepped up since Salah's form dipped. Now, we've said all season that Van Dijk's fitness is key if Liverpool are to win the title, but Mane is just as important, surely.
Yeah, Mane's been on flames, hasn't he? He's such a threat. Sometimes I just want to kill him, because he does all the difficult things so easy, and then when it comes to the finish, he's like a real instinctive striker, Sadio Mane. But at the moment he's on fire, and he always looks like he's going to score in every match. To be honest, with Mo, you know, I think. I'm a little bit disappointed with him, because he's looking like he wants to get that 50th goal to break the record. And I'm not liking the selfishness at the moment, especially, you know, on Sunday against Fulham. I think we five times with 4-on-1 situations. And instead of just sliding in players on, you know, taking pot shots from everywhere. And I really hope Klopp, you know, rattles him, you know, in the next game, because... he's just trying too hard to get a goal, and we could have made that game so comfortable on Sunday, and it was like we were so casual still, you know, so sloppy, because it was an easy game. Fulham are terrible.
Yeah, but you to know, be fair, to be fair, you had a difficult game against Burnley on the Saturday, and it must have taken a lot out of them. And then they had Bayern Munich midweek, and that wasn't an easy game. I know it was a 3-1 scoreline, but you know, you really soaked up a lot of pressure. I know Bayern, you know, you prevented Bayern from threatening you most of the time, but it was still a grueling game. So for them to go into a game at Fulham, a team that's fighting relegation with a new manager, it was going to be a tricky game. And you got the points, and that's the main thing, I guess.
No, 100%. Listen, it was all about the 3 points, and at this stage of the season, it is now about the results rather than the performance. Is obviously you want to perform well as well with the results, and it is now getting the 3 points, and we did in the end. I just felt as the game wore on, I just saw no threat from Fulham at all, and I think the players saw that as well. Started making sloppy passes in the game, silly fouls. I mean, Fabinho, you know, within the space of 3 minutes, he'd give the ball away 2 or 3 times, and then he got himself booked. And then actually he could have been sent off about a minute after that. The second challenge you made was more of a yellow than the first one.
Mm.
You know, so we just got really sloppy. And luckily in the end we got the 3 points. But yeah, as you were saying, Sadio Mane at the moment, if he can continue this form, then, you know, we've got a good chance of winning the majority of our remaining games.
Mm. Absolutely. And Rod, I'm actually starting to feel sorry for Huddersfield, mate. They've struggled with goals all season. The one time they score 3, they let in 4. When your luck is out, it really is out, isn't it?
Yeah, it just proves how well the manager did well last year, because, you know, they've struggled all season and they haven't even looked like scoring. Yeah, they work hard and they're quite organised, but, you know, they just haven't got the quality. And ultimately, with the teams and the quality that they're playing against, you just have to have much more than what they've got. And ultimately, you know, it's that second season syndrome where they struggle and they're just going to be one of the teams that, you know, I think they need to start rebuilding for next year. Or, you know, you might see like a Sunderland or a Bolton, or where they go again and drop another one. So I think they need to regroup and go again and make sure they stay steady and don't get relegated again, because you could see it happening again there.
Ah, so you're starting to agree with me now.
What, with Huddersfield?
Yeah.
We said it before, you know, Cardiff are having the same problem, but they seem to be nicking goals. If you're not scoring goals, especially in the Premier League, you're going to struggle, aren't you?
Yeah, true. That's a point. But the thing is, I was watching that Sunderland documentary, and it just shows how a team can really, really disband when they've got problems like that. When you get relegated, it's so difficult to stay in the Championship, let alone come up to the Premier League. And
there was a lot of issues going in, you know, it doesn't matter how good you are. If your confidence is low and you can't get out of that rut, then it's very difficult, especially as a footballer, especially as an individual. If your confidence is low playing football, you know, it's very, very difficult. And then the crowd are getting on your back, and every little mistake, and there's boos, and, you know, then there's uproar in the boardrooms. You know, it's very difficult. And then you've got players that are on big money that are not giving as much as they should be. So there was loads of issues there, and you can see why they've failed the way they have. But they seem to have come out of it now, and they seem to be doing all right.
There you go. Now, Jan, if I asked which manager questioned his team's mental strength again at the weekend, who do you think I'm talking about again? If I asked which manager questioned his team's mental strength again at the weekend, who do you think I'm talking about again?
Yes, I don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about
Sarri. Yes, he threw his players under the bus for the 6th or 7th time this season after they lost 2-0 at Everton. Is it time for the guy that never wins anything to put all his eggs in the Europa League basket?
That's what he's aiming for, isn't it? I mean, he's always, you know, if he's ever going to win something in his career, then it's got to come now with Chelsea, isn't it, in the Europa. Or he's trying his very best to get sacked so he can earn that big money out of his contract, and nothing's happening. He's not being sacked and he's not winning the trophy, so he's in a bit of a bad position at the moment, isn't he? I think they've got a chance for the Europa. I really do.
Imagine they lose to Napoli in the final.
Ooh.
Oh, it's a possibility, you know.
Or Arsenal.
Yeah, or Arsenal, yeah.
Mourinho came out and said something beginning of the month. He goes, the Premier League is the league where you sometimes have to lose your identity a bit and adapt to the characteristics of the game and the opponents. He says he'll learn in time. The second season will be better for him.
Have you seen he stuck the knife in on Scholes on,
didn't he? Yeah, yep. He killed him, didn't he, Rod? Told him to get back in the studio. Brilliant. I was waiting for it, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Rod, what did you make of Scholes leaving the job? Because from what I understand, he wasn't given the resources or the opportunities to implement his style.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's obviously gone in and had the chat and what he wants to do, and then, you know, when you've got people coming into the ground and turning gas off, and, you know, him after organising first team buses, and, you know, I don't think he just come to his end of his tether. He's just fucking walked out.
I can imagine Scholes doing that as well, isn't it? Oh, fuck this.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't see
what they're doing here.
I can't see Paul Scholes calling Tony O'Neill saying, Tony, can you set up a bus for the weekend?
Yeah, you know, if it was any other club, he would never have gone. You know, obviously, all the clubs was asked that way, done it, but the old year is just full of shit.
There you go. Enough said about that. Well, look, that's it for our Premier League and FA Cup roundup. It was quite a quick one. Before we go on to our bite back, I just want to do a quick Euro trash because I have to do this one. I have to do this one.
And now it's time for Euro trash.
As you guys know, I've selected three stories from Europe, and you guys need to choose the best of the worst. Okay. So the first one comes from France, where Mario Balotelli has made our Eurotrash segment for the second week running. Well done, Super Mario. He was rumoured to have worn a t-shirt with an image of Marcus Rashford beneath his Marseille shirt and planned on revealing it if he scored against ISIS SG. Super Mario was quick to deny this on his Instagram by posting a message which reads, "Stop creating fake stories over me." He also plastered the word bullshit in bright red. That's the first story. Now, the second story comes from Russia, would you believe? And former Reading striker Pavel Pogrebniak ran the risk of earning a 10-match ban from the Russian Football Union for racial comments. The striker said, "It's laughable when a black player represents the Russian national side. Mario Fernandez is a top player, but we also have Igor Smolinkov in this position. We could make do without foreigners as well." He followed this up with, "I don't have anything against black players." So, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, in the words of Queen Gertrude in Shakespeare's Hamlet, "The lady doth protest too much, methinks." Now, the final story comes from Greece. We all know that Ivan Savvidis invading the pitch with a revolver would take some beating when it comes to Greek league fuckery. Last week in the derby of the eternal rivals Panathinaikos and Olympiakos was marred with crowd trouble before, during and after the game. Online publication Kathimerini wrote, "Although there were no Olympiakos fans at the stadium, as is always the case in Greek derbies these days, the atmosphere was explosive, with some 15 to 20 fans bearing no club jerseys or scarves invading the area surrounding the pitch and attacked the Olympiakos bench and clashed with the visitors' officials on the fifth minute of the game." So it wasn't like the Aston Villa one. Olympiakos alleged that one of the invaders bore a knife. There you go. The match resumed after a 10-minute stoppage and flowed peacefully until the 53rd minute when Miguel Angel Guerrero scored for Olympiakos. A number of Panathinaikos hardcore left the terrace and clashed with police a few metres outside the stadium. The riot police then used stun guns, grenades and tear gas to disperse the hooligans, with the chemicals travelling to inside the stadium. The referee and the players managed to wait until the completion of the 69th minute, but the atmosphere was unbearable and the match was temporarily and then definitively abandoned. So Olympiakos got the win. It turns out they've been awarded a 3-0 win. So there you go, Greek league fuckery, ladies and gents. So, go on.
"Damn, water is wet." That is like a standard Olympiakos Panathinaikos story, isn't it?
There you go.
God.
Absolutely. So, I take it that's going to win. Is that right?
Yeah, but I must say, the Balotelli one, yeah, I can almost guarantee he was probably wearing a Man United shirt underneath his underneath his top. I've got no doubt about it.
Absolutely. So you're going for the Greek derby, yeah?
Yeah, it's got to be, isn't it?
Yeah. Jan?
I'm going to go for the Balotelli one.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the Panathinaikos Olympiacos, I hear it every day, mate. It's not, to be honest. You know, with Progrebniak, with the racism, yeah. I'm not surprised these days. And so, but Balotelli one is just funny because I know what kind of a dude he is. So I'm going with Balotelli. Mm.
Rod?
Yeah, full house. Go with the madman.
He's a nutter, isn't he?
Great yeah, stuff. There you go. I think Mara didn't win it last time. I think it was the Turkish guy with the blade. So yeah, Mara's won his first one. Excellent. Congratulations. Well done, Mario. You don't win anything. You don't win anything.
I've got some stories about that boy.
Go on, hit us.
Oh God, Mario Balotelli. Obviously, you know, one of my pals worked for Liverpool, innit?
Yep.
Oh God, mate, that guy. Some of the stuff he did was just crazy. The one I can probably say on here is the Real Madrid game.
Go on.
When he walked off the pitch with Pepe at halftime, when they swapped shirts. I don't know if you remember, it's a Champions League match against Real Madrid. Yeah, at halftime, all the cameras were on him, Sky and everything. And he turned round to my pal and he said, I need to go outside the front and have a cigarette. and my mate basically said, you've just walked off the pitch, you swapped shirts at half time, we're 2-0 down and you want to go out the front and have a cigarette. let's just go upstairs and have a Coke, mate, in the bar. And that's just like a number of crazy stories about that guy, mate. He's just a nutcase.
He's a character.
Proper character, mate.
But the funny thing is, he's actually a very good footballer. That's the thing.
He's brilliant. He's very talented.
Mm.
See, I disagree.
Really? No, he's a really talented player.
I think he's brainless. I don't think he's any good at all. I just think you're going to remember Balotelli for his antics off the pitch, his stupidness, and actually him as a footballer.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. He is silly, but as a talent, he has got talent. A lot of talent as well. But his mentality is not right, is it?
I disagree, like I said, but it's a matter of looking in.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway. Right, let's move on to our bite back because I would get the feeling this feature could either be really long or really short. Now, it's pretty simple, really. You always hear about the greatest Premier League footballers, the all-time Premier League 11. I've taken a little bit sideways here. I've decided to ask you guys, what is your most underrated Premier League 11? Okay, and I've put the question to the Facebook group page and we've had so many people getting back to us and on Twitter as well. So I just had to thank everyone. Mike says Michael Carrick, Shea Given, Moussa Dembele, Nani. Aaron has come up with a lot of players. Fabianski, Gilberto Silva, James Milner, Giroud, Lasso, Pallister, Berbatov, Azpilicueta, Arteta. John has thrown in Troy Deeney and Tim Cahill. Dan DeLuca has come up with his own 11. He's got Friedel, Glenn Johnson, Dominic Matteo, Dennis Irwin, Aaron Lennon, Park Ji-song, Gary Speed, Milner, Robert, Defoe, Les Ferdinand. Michael said Danny Murphy, Scott Parker, Ben Arfa. It also added Clint Dempsey. Sean Parry on Twitter says Ian Hart, Jimmy Floyd, Hasselbank, Gilberto Silva. And the lads at Garage Football say Nigel Martin, David Batty, Gary Kelly, Michael Carrick, James Milner, Pedro Mendes, and Darren Fletcher. Now, gents, I know you've had a few hours to think. I know it's a difficult one. I couldn't really come up with a defined 11. Does anyone want to have a go and explain why they've selected these players? Or just throw names in, really?
Yeah, I suppose we could all like go for defenders, midfielders and attackers.
All right, go on. Start off.
We'll reel them off.
Go on.
Right back's got to be Dennis Irwin.
Dennis Irwin, yeah. He was definitely one of my players, definitely.
Yeah, I agree.
Dennis Irwin's
got to
be a shoo-in.
I rated him, man. To be honest.
it wouldn't be in like a top anywhere in discussion of top fullbacks in the Premier League, though, would it?
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. That's the point.
You're the guy. Same as Steve Bruce. No, Steve Bruce scored 19 goals in one season.
Jesus, yeah, that's true.
He was a penalty taker. What that?
Yeah,
time,
he was a penalty taker, but I think eight of them were penalties or 12.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so
yeah,
we're just going to agree with Dennis Irwin, either right back or left back, yeah?
yeah. Stick Dennis in there.
Easy. What about goalkeeper? Yeah,
that's a point. You could play left back or right back, and you wouldn't even know which was his foot.
That's right.
Right, goalkeeper. Anyone want to throw in someone?
I would say Nigel Martin as well. Someone else said that. Yeah, did you say it? I would go with Nigel Martin.
Yeah?
Or he in the talk of it.
Underrated, Tom Heaton.
What, all time?
Well, what about Ben Foster?
Foster as well, yeah. That's
a good one. That's a good one. I mean, Ben Foster's got... He's in the top 10 of the all-time most clean sheets, and he's played for Watford, West Brom...
Tim Howard as well.
Tim Howard, yeah.
Brad Friedel at probably Blackburn. Really good, wasn't he? There was a stage where we couldn't score past him as a United fan. Like,
Kudacine.
Yeah, Kudacine's a good one. I'd even say David James. I mean, I know he made a few mistakes, a few big mistakes, but let's be honest, man.
Cost us two titles.
Out of all the names that were named, though, if you're going to name 11, you're not going to name Dick Calamity James, are you?
Yeah, no, that's just a bad shit.
Okay, well, what about Mark Schwarzer then? Because, I mean, he's in the top 10 who kept the most Premier League clean sheets. He's kept 75. He played for Middlesbrough, Fulham, and played, like, twice for Chelsea.
What about Jesper Linen?
He's another good
one. Good keeper.
Yeah,
he was good.
I'll tell you what, it's for centre half as well. I know personally, it was very close to coming United. Gareth Southgate.
He was a top defender, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. He was quite underrated.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
Yes,
but
Southgate.
See, the thing is, it's very difficult to come up with this thing. We've come up with what, six goalkeepers?
Yeah.
And we haven't even really agreed to one. So I'll tell you what, why don't you each give me your goalkeeper?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Nigel Martin.
Stick with Nigel Martin, yeah? Leeds and Crystal Palace and Everton.
Yeah, and that Tash he had as well.
was it QPR at one point as well?
No, Nigel Martin. Wasn't he the first £1 million player when he went to Palace?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, I'm gonna go for Brad Friedel, because every time he played United, he always had a blinding game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one still. Brad Friedel for me.
And I'm gonna go Ben Foster for me.
Ben Foster. Okay. Friedel and Foster, they're the two. Rod, do you wanna throw Nigel Martin, okay. Martin, I'm typing these in, Foster and Friedel. Okay, so I'm gonna
Is this all time Premier League, yes, since the start?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, left back then, I'm going to go Nigel Winterburn.
You're going for Winterburn, that's interesting.
That's a great show.
Yeah, I thought he was solid, Winterburn.
Rod?
Oh, come back to me on this one.
Well, see, I was going to go with Dennis Irwin at left back, but...
We could shove him at right back, can't we?
Well, yeah, you could, but I was going to go Ivanovic at right back.
Oh, he was quality as well, underrated, didn't he?
That's right. I mean, he barely put a foot wrong. He was at Chelsea for 9 years, and everyone was talking about Terry, Carvalho and Cole, but he was a brick wall, man. He could play centre-back, right-back.
Oh, he was solid. He was solid.
Yeah.
Would you not put Gary Neville at right-back?
Well, as underrated.
Well, was he overrated?
No, but he definitely wasn't underrated. He was always regarded as one of the top full-backs that this country's produced.
Yeah,
I don't think he got the accolades because everyone thought he was a bit of a, I can't really say, but I don't know, I thought he was quality, and I don't think he got the recognition as a footballer, as a right back, as he should have.
I think he did. He wasn't as vocal as he is now as a player.
Okay, so we still haven't decided on who's going to go right back or left back. So Owen is definitely going to make it though, yeah?
Dennis
Irwin at right back. Okay, so Irwin at right back. So who shall we throw in at left back then?
Left back.
You don't think Winterburn was underrated?
I don't know. I think because he was part of that famous Arsenal back line, I think all of them got the credit they deserved, really.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, it's like kind of passing the torch because you had Winterburn and they had the Silvini at one point, didn't they? And then
What about Ian Hart?
Yeah, Ian Hart's a good shout, man. Set pieces.
Ian Hart is a good shout, yeah.
Yeah.
He scored penalties, of course, free kicks. He had the wicked left foot. I don't know. Ian Hart was quality at the time at Leeds, especially.
Yeah, he was good. I've got a midfielder.
Christian Ziegler. Was he left back or left wing?
He was left back at Liverpool.
Mm. Who, Ziegler?
Yeah,
he was a winner at Tottenham, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was good. He was decent for us, Ziegler. He was part of the treble winning side in 2001.
German international.
Yeah.
But that's enough recognition, surely.
Yeah.
So he did well at Middlesbrough as well at one point, didn't he?
Yeah, but Ian Hart had a better consistency.
Yeah, Ian Hart was in that lead side with a decent.
All right, so we've got Hart and Irwin then as fullbacks.
Okay, so we've got Jack Charlton's Mick McCarthy's Republic of Ireland fullbacks. Excellent. Okay. Central defenders. I've got my two. Okay, I don't know if you guys are going to agree with it, but it's your choice. I've gone for Sami Hupia because I don't think he got the recognition that he deserved. I mean, you look at all the famous Liverpool captains over the year. Sami Hupia's name won't be in your top five, would they? If you think about over the
years. You know what? That's a great shout, mate.
And I'm not talking Premier League, I'm talking like in the history of the game. I know I'm talking about Premier League in terms of all-time Premier League 11, but even still, like when you think of the Liverpool captain's armband, you're going to say Steven Gerrard, you're going to say John Barnes. You're not really going to mention Sami Hupia, are you, really?
100%. I think Sami definitely deserved more recognition.
Well, it was phenomenal at Liverpool. We barely put a foot wrong. I think the only time he really made a mistake was when he got sent off at Old Trafford. When he brought down Rude, but that was he was solid every game.
Yeah, he was brilliant, mate. He was quality. He was.
What do you reckon? Is he a good?
Where's Morgan? Leicester for the season that he had when they won the league.
I guess he'd be in, but I mean that whole Leicester team got recognised for it, didn't they? I mean, I'm surprised they didn't knight them all. To be fair, whether they were. I don't know, what do you reckon, Rod? Is Hupia in there for you?
Who, sorry?
Sami Hupia, would he be one that you'd put in?
Possibly, in the chat. Paul McGrath.
Oh, what a player.
Yeah, it's gone for 35, one knee to win player of the year.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good
one. He was quality, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He didn't even train, did he, Rod?
No, he didn't train for Villa, no.
No, because he was pissed.
I'm not even going to say allegedly. I think even he would. Anyway,
he'd agree as well, wouldn't he?
Mm. Well, okay. Yeah. So, shall we put Sami Hupia then? Shall we agree?
Yeah.
With Sami Hupia?
Yeah.
Jan.
He's the Liverpool player. No, I'm joking. yeah, I would actually. I thought he was quality at Liverpool. Yeah. I've got
to love
with that,
mate. Okay. What about another central defender? I mean, I've got one again. Henning Steve Berg.
Bruce. Who's that?
Henning Steve Berg.
Henning Berg. I mean,
we're talking about a guy that won the league title with Blackburn. I mean, let's be honest, that Blackburn team, they had Shearer and Sutton up front. They got a lot of the credit. And if they weren't getting raved about, it was Wilcox and Ripley. And if it weren't them, it was... who was it? Batty and Sherwood, and then at the back was Colin Hendry. And you look at Henning Berg, came to United, won the treble.
Henning Berg, he's a good shout as well.
Anyone else?
Yeah, for me, it'd have to be Steve Bruce.
Steve Bruce, yeah?
Yeah.
No England cap.
No England cap, yeah, I agree with Rob.
Scored team goals, like 10 to 20
How
goals.
How did he not get an England cap? That's Steve Bruce at the time.
Yeah, exactly. You've got people like Tony Adams, Keown.
It's true.
Decent centre-half, didn't you?
Bit of a Carragher sort of thing, innit?
Yeah.
Where everyone was sort of above him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Same with Andy Cole and Ian Wright. How they not get more caps? When you got Shearer and Fowler and...
Sheringham.
That's crazy. I mean, the amount of strikers that England had at the time, you're surprised they didn't qualify for the 94 World Cup, innit?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And now they've got Danny Welbeck.
Yeah. Less said about that, the better, I think. So we're going to go Steve Bruce then, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we haven't decided on a goalkeeper, but we've got our back four. So we've got Irwin Hart, Hupia and Bruce. Okay. Now, right, are we going?
We're playing rush goalie.
No, oh, fair enough.
Well, you've got to go with the majority, haven't you? So the majority was you and Jan.
Yeah, Nigel. Yeah. Was it who? No, Friedel. Who was it? Friedel.
Yeah, Friedel. Yeah.
Go on in. Stick Friedel in goal in.
Okay. Cool. Right. Are we going to go four in midfield or three in midfield or?
No, let's go old school. 4-4-2.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fine. Yeah. So, right wing. I've got my right winger. You lot tell me your right winger and then I'll tell you mine.
Jason Park.
Yeah?
Absolutely. For the work that he did at United, so underrated. He allowed all the Flair players to go and express themselves. He won the Champions League at United. He was instrumental for United winning titles. Me personally, as an unsung hero, Jason Park.
Rod?
Ooh, difficult on that.
There's right. A lot of right wingers.
Yeah.
Stuart Ripley was quality, wasn't he?
Yeah, you know what? When you first said right midfield, that's the first person that came into my head.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's better right midfielders than
yeah, but know, when you know. Say quality, Ripley had one good season with Blackburn. Two, arguably. He wasn't...
He was good at Southampton?
Yeah, he was... I'm talking consistency. When you know, if you look at the players that we've picked, Dennis Irwin, Hart, Friedel, Bruce, Hupia, possibly Park, these players consistently underrated and consistently good. You know, I don't...
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. I don't think Ripley... Yeah, Ripley was underrated, but... He wasn't consistent enough over a long period for him to go in the team. That's me personally.
Mm. Okay. Who's yours then, Ian? Like, you said Park, haven't you?
That's a great shout.
Yeah, Darren. He got injured, you know, a lot. But when he did play,
yeah.
He played consistently. He was a consistent performer.
Andy?
Oh, man, this is a real tough one. Because I thought of Ripley straight away, to be honest. Oh, God, there's so many, isn't there? Underrated. Oh. I don't know anyone else.
Well, I'll give you my one.
Go on.
When you look at the best wingers in the Premier League and, you know, they talk about right wingers and David Beckham is always up there.
Kanchelskis. I knew you were going to say
that. Yeah, I'm just saying, he was never underrated.
You reckon?
No,
I don't think it was underrated.
That's why I didn't say. Unfortunately, I should have said he was underrated.
He was phenomenal.
He was goal for fun.
Yeah, no, but when you talk about an all-time Premier League 11, right? He wouldn't be one of the first names on a right flank, would he?
No, but United fans, if you probably said on the pomp, who would they have, Kanchelskis or Beckham? Most of them would say Kanchelskis, you know, because when he first started, he was part of that 93, 94, 95 side.
He was a ridiculous player.
Yeah, he was frightening.
Jesus.
He'd get Terry Fielder a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was on Chris's Colossal Chigs Arsenal show before the United game a few weeks ago, and we were talking about all-time favourite United 11, and I put Kanchelskis as my right winger. And I remember that game against Spurs. It was Klinsmann's first season at Spurs. And Sol Campbell was playing at left back that day. And remember, if you remember, Sol Campbell started out as a striker. And then he moved to left back and then centre back. And Kanchelskis absolutely tore him a new one.
Sol Campbell's big in it, so Kanchelskis was rapid. I mean, quick.
The thing is, though, he used to tear a lot of people a new one, to be honest.
Mm.
Kanchelskis.
Tough as nails as well. Russian, tough as nails.
Pace was ridiculous, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a disgusting volley on him as well. I remember one he scored against Southampton in the Cup, wasn't it? Was it in the Cup? The volley on the edge of the box?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
And he scored that goal against Oldham when you run across the pitch and then you put it with his left foot.
Yeah. Bent it into the top corner.
Yeah.
He was never underrated, him still. Never. Okay.
So we're going with Stuart Ripley then. Oh, what if I frame Rule Fox? What about Rule Fox?
Rule Fox was the bollocks.
John Wright Phillips.
Wright Phillips is a good one, Andy. That's a very good one.
Who? Sean Wright Phillips. He was quality, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he was always consistently good. He was just unlucky at Chelsea, wasn't he? He never got an opportunity there.
Has he died? What's happened to him?
He's in America, isn't he?
Yes.
Is his brother?
He was, but...
Bradley Wright Phillips is like the New York.
Bradley Wright Phillips, he's scoring goals.
Did you just ask if he died?
Yeah.
He's doing a remake film with different strokes.
he plays for Phoenix Rising, which is the team that Drogba owns or part owns.
Have you ever seen stood next to him? He is Gary Coleman. Who you talk about, Willis?
He's so small, isn't he?
He's a mid. Yeah.
That's my choice now. I'm going Sean Wright Phillips.
Me and him
would
get along just fine, then
he'd
be small.
And he's taller than you, Jan.
Everybody's taller than me. My 5-year-old daughter's taller than me, but
it's okay, so shall we say Wright Phillips then?
Yeah,
I'm right with that, okay.
Better than Stuart Ripley anyway.
All right, let's go left wing then. I can't actually think of any left wingers, to be fair.
I've got one for you.
Go on.
It wasn't, you know, I'm kind of contradicting myself because he wasn't great over a period of time. Well, I'm going to speak Guppy.
You know what I was going to say? That's the only left footer you know.
I can't believe you lot have said that player, because the player I'm thinking of was his teammate. Muzzy Izzet
was a centre midfield player.
Yeah, but he was coming from wide, didn't he?
I was gonna say Peter Enlow for right midfield, but he was more of an inside player. He was the same.
What about Steve Frugger?
Why don't you just throw in Peter Beagrie then? Throw in Peter Beagrie for his summer sports.
Oh, this is funny.
No one called Frogger is going in my team.
let's throw Ian Wone in as well. Go on.
Oh, he was quality, man.
Oh, he was all right on Forest.
He used to score some rockets from that right foot, didn't he?
Well, someone threw in Laurent Robert.
He's a good shout. But what about Wone?
But I was going to say Nobby Solano, but he was more of a right-sided player, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was right winger.
Jason Wilcox, would he make it?
Well, he's like Stuart Ripley.
Yeah.
What about Jesper Blomqvist?
No, I only had one good season.
Didn't Liverpool have any left wingers, Andy? I know you lot played 3-5-2.
Mark Kennedy.
Oh. Well, we can't have another Irishman for crying out loud.
What about Bernard Diarmid?
Oof. That's a different 11, mate. World Cup winners that were shit. Stefan Givarsh.
Oh, God.
So we don't have an underrated left winger.
Yeah, it has to be. That's why the
Anders Limpar.
Think about was Steve Cuppy, but he said it.
Damien Duff.
Anders Limpar.
Hold on. Damien Duff is a shout.
Damien Duff. Yeah, Duff's probably the best one out of them all.
Not Anders Limpar.
Anders Limpar, Damien Duff in his pomp was decent.
No, Damien Duff, because he was good at Blackburn and he was good at Chelsea.
Damien Duff, yeah.
So we're going to go for another Irishman.
Another Irishman.
I'm not saying Patrick's Day is gone, man. You can't keep giving them fucking... Stop giving them props.
You've got to give them something after we drilled on Saturday, haven't we?
Okay.
We might as well take Hart out and put O'Shea in.
You're taking the piss. You're taking the piss. Honestly. Alright, let's go for Damien Duff then. I don't know. Okay. So two central midfielders. I've got one, and I don't think anyone will disagree with me with this one.
Michael Carrick.
Gary Speed.
Gary Speed, yeah. What a player.
He goes in. End of. There's no discussion. Yeah. No one ever spoke, you know, it was always, you know, his teammates or someone that he played alongside, like Rob Lee, for example, always, you know, the marauding central midfielder. But Gary Speed had everything.
He was an 8 out of 10 player every match.
Yeah.
I can't remember, and for every team that he played for as well.
Leeds, Newcastle, was it Everton at one point?
Bolton.
If we're going to say underrated players, well, you've got to talk about centre midfield. You've got to have someone like Dennis Wise.
Yeah,
Dennis Wise is a good shout. Definitely, he was. Oh, he was horrible to play against, wasn't he?
Do you remember when he got Nicky Butt sent off?
Playing that pinching you and all kinds of stuff.
Didn't he pull out Nicky Butt's old pube under his shorts?
No, he pinched him, and when he pinched him, he just kneed him in
the he was a real tough little cookie. He was, wasn't he, midfield.
How about this one?
What do you not think about this one? But I don't know if he's underrated. It's a debate. Gary McAllister.
Gary Mack.
Yeah.
Is he underrated? I think he was rated highly
quality for Leeds and Liverpool, didn't
he? That's what I mean. He was quality, but was he rated highly?
I think he was.
He was scoring 40-yard free kicks in the Merseyside derby at 36 years old, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Michael Carrick's got to be in the conversation as well, by the way.
You don't think he was rated highly at United, no?
But for England, why did he not play more? I suppose when you got Gerrard and Lampard and other players.
The
ball playing midfield, they're both feet. Yes, he probably should have scored more goals, but as a footballer...
Yeah. Carrick's outstanding footballer.
What about Two Guy?
Yeah, Two Guy as well.
God, do you remember his rockets he used to score?
Two Guy was rated. He was a Turkish international, won titles at Galatasaray. I don't think he was underrated, Two Guy.
He loved the salmon as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think he was underrated.
Okay, how about...
Ray Parler?
Ray Parler.
That's a great show. Yeah. Ray Parler.
What about Steve Malbronk?
Ray Parler over him.
Okay, so we're going with Ray Parler then, yeah?
Yeah, I'd go with Ray Parler, me. Yeah, defo.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, we've only got two foreigners in this team. Well, okay, well, I know the Republic of Ireland is in Britain, but if you want to talk about... Anyway, right, so we've got... So
JJ Okocha.
Ah, oh, come on, he tore it apart at Bolton, didn't he? He already did on the touchline to Mike Keown.
Was he underrated?
Juninho, yeah. But he had one season, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, you can say the same about... What's that fella that was at City, Kinkladze? He had one decent season, didn't he?
God, do you remember him? Jesus.
What about John Sheridan at Wednesday?
Left winger, mate.
He was a right winger.
Was he right winger?
Right winger.
Okay. Okay.
So our midfield consists of who now? It's Duff.
Wright Phillips.
Parler and Wright Phillips.
And Gary Speed, yeah.
And Gary Speed, yes, of course. That's the top underrated midfield there.
Right, okay. So up front, I'll tell you what, I'll give you my two and then you guys can give us your two and we can discuss, yeah?
Okay.
I've gone Jermaine Defoe and Torre André Flo.
Ooh, Flo's a good shout.
See, I've got. I don't know if he's underrated, but I'm going if he's underrated because the team he played for and the goals he scored and obviously the top side never went with him, so I'll go with Kevin Phillips.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a brilliant one.
Didn't he get like 40-odd goals in the season once?
Yeah, him and Quinn were frightening for a few seasons. And the second one would be...
Kevin Phillips, a good shout.
You have to agree. I'll have to agree with Kevin Phillips, to be fair. Now you say that.
Yep. This is a debate, but mine's all like on a soul shot.
Underrated?
Yeah, well, was he underrated, though?
He wasn't overrated.
Yeah, but he was rated. True. People knew that when he was coming off the bench, he was going to bang.
He's underrated back at United because you have people like Sheringham, Coleman, New York, but I don't think any other side, he would have been number one, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. Spurs were in for him a couple of times, didn't they?
Les Ferdinand?
Sir Les.
I don't know,
I think he was well-rated, Les Ferdinand.
But it's that old adage that we said at the beginning, like because he's an English striker and they were so blessed with so many great strikers, you can't say that. I mean, even Collymore, was Collymore underrated because he didn't play enough games for England? Was Fowler underrated because he didn't get playing? No, but these players were quality. We knew their quality.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But Kevin Phillips is a great shout because, you know, he was banging goals for Sunderland, for Christ's sake. Like, you know, and it wasn't like Ravanelli's status where he did it for one season then he went to another club and, you know, did nothing. Like
what about Darius Vassell?
No, mate, he's terrible.
I'm going to go with Kevin Phillips and I'm going to go small man, big man. I'm going to go with Duncan Ferguson.
Ooh, blimey. Blimey, that's a good one as well. That guy, he was a nutcase.
Because he was, if you're on a Friday night and you're a centre half and you've got him on the side, fucking hell. Here we go. Guy goes into the change room firing his elbows.
Yeah, and you're pretty quiet. Who have you got, man?
I'm proper thinking, like, I'm going back in the day, I was thinking, like, Benito Carboni. I'm going, like, Tony Yeboah. That's a great.
What about Dalian Atkinson?
What about David Hurst?
Yeah.
Send it back to striker.
David Hurst, I'd like to have Mark Bright.
Dion Dublin.
Oh, Dion Dublin's a great shot.
Another player that got goals everywhere he went. Coventry, yeah. Villa.
He was even good at centre half.
Yeah.
That's a top striker. And Phillips, small man, big man.
Wow. It's a tough one. It's a difficult one. Really is. Really, really is. Because, you know, this day and age, you look back at the Premier League years, you know, back in 92, 93, we're old enough to remember it, and we're going to have listeners that probably started watching football in, what, the late 90s, and they'll give us other names. So we're kind of going way back to the beginning.
Darren Huckabee at Coventry.
Blimey, that goal we scored against United, bloody hell.
Do you think Craig Bellamy was underrated?
Craig Bellamy, yeah.
Yeah, Bellamy's a shout, yeah.
He played for top sides, though, didn't he?
Mm.
Yeah, he did. It was a bit like Robbie Keane, went everywhere.
Yeah, but he was a quality player, though.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, we're just asking.
Bellamy was brilliant.
Yeah. Don't mention any charities, though, yeah?
Do you know what, though? You've seen me, yeah? Don't you think you're like my attitude's like Bellamy's, or Bellamy's like mine? Bellamy reminds me a lot of me. It's like short and little man syndrome.
And he doesn't have a neck, like you.
Anyway, back to me thinking about my next striker.
Gladstone small neck.
So we definitely got Kevin Phillips then, yeah?
I'm happy with that. I don't know if you guys
are. Yeah, I am as well.
I've got one. I've got a number 10. Georgi Kinkladze.
Ooh.
What is it? We only had one season, man. Didn't only one decent season. Then he went to Derby and flopped. If anything,
I'm contradicting myself.
If anything, you might as well put Ayo Berkovic because he did well.
I've got one, boys. Mark Viduka.
Ooh. I don't know, man.
He'd work well with Phillips as well.
Australian international. Yeah. Scored goals. I think he was rated, wasn't he?
He was rated, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. Borderline, isn't it?
He scored four against Liverpool. He's always going to be rated.
Oh, he was, mate. He was a very good striker, Viduka.
Yeah, he did it. Newcastle, he struggled a little bit, but that was like his later stage of his career, wasn't it? But everywhere he went, he scored goals. Celtic, he scored goals. Well, anyone scores goals at Celtic.
It's a difficult one. It really is a difficult one because, I mean, if you look at...
Here's one for you. For him to only play at, like, one... Well, you say one big club, but obviously the club before was big, but not, you know what I mean when I say it, Henrik Larsson.
Mm. Oh, mate. He was a baller.
Yeah, but Larsson only had 6 months in England.
No, but that's what I'm saying, he's underrated. Celtic.
Yeah.
Someone that only played at Celtic and be that good when he comes to United, he was at the end of his career and he was fucking brilliant.
He did it at Barcelona as well, didn't he?
He was unbelievable. It was
a great loan signing for United, wasn't he?
Yeah,
Larsson, brilliant. I remember watching his first game, thinking, "How is this guy not been here? How's he not here?" It was frightening.
Yeah, he was brilliant. Pat.
It's a really, really difficult one, isn't it?
Strikers are hard.
What about Luis Saha?
Luis Saha, he was unplayable on his day.
Sean Goulter.
What about Tony Cotty? He's got to be in there, surely, with a shout.
Oof.
Tony Cotty.
Yeah.
You're going old school. What about David Speedy?
What about Fabrizio Ravanelli?
But he was rated, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he didn't really play. He played for Middlesbrough.
He scored a hat-trick on his debut against Liverpool, didn't he?
Yeah.
Remember the hat-tricks against Liverpool, don't you?
I remember all the goals that go in against Liverpool.
That was 3-3 that game.
It was, yeah. Barnes scored, didn't it?
Barnes scored two.
Yeah.
Well, just on a side note, Shane Long is the 107th highest goal scorer in the Premier League with 49.
So who are we going with? Kevin Phillips?
Phillips is
definitely one.
Definitely Phillips.
One would be Dion Dublin.
A guy with Dion Dublin. What about Freddy Canute? Would he be one now?
Freddy Canute. Louis Saha's better than him.
Yeah.
Saha's better, yeah. Maybe Saha, actually. Saha did it at Newcastle.
No, there's not many players that you watch and you know on the game. Like Drogba was one, Rooney's one, Saha. When they're on the game, you can't stop them.
It's a difficult one, man.
That was Louis Saha. The only problem was he was just fucking too temperamental. The guy had size six feet, so he was just always getting injured. Just really temperamental. But when on his day, you just could not stop it.
Yeah, he was bad enough. It's a good team, by the way.
It's tough. I mean, we've been doing this for half an hour, and
it's a good side though so far.
Well, I don't think you're going to concede many goals, and you're going to get goals from the fullbacks. You're going to get goals and assists from the wingers.
Yeah, it's a good side.
There's two central defenders. Okay, there isn't much pace there, but you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter when. You know, be intelligent. You've got two quality central midfielders. You know, they can get you goals and assists and keep it tight at the back. And up front, you know, Kevin Phillips is... Yeah, man, but... Yeah, it's difficult. That last striker...
He did well.
He did well for Newcastle.
He done well everywhere he went.
Yeah.
Lee Chapman.
His misses weren't too bad back in the day.
Mark Hughes.
Your mate.
Do you know what? Even the Wallace brothers were brilliant.
I tell you, he was underrated. Brian McClair, and he scored goals for fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. The thing is, Andy, when you look at Liverpool back in the day, I mean, they had
John good strike. Aldridge.
Yeah, Aldridge. But did he play in the Premier League though for Liverpool?
I don't think he did.
But I remember it was like Ian Rush. He had a few seasons, and then he went to Newcastle, wasn't it?
And then John Aldridge didn't play in the Premier League. He played in the last, I think, just before his last season was just before we went into the Premier League, 1990-91, I think.
Well, if we're going to go with the number 10, like what Jan said, what about Patrick Berger?
He was quality.
Was he underrated though?
I think he was rated quite highly when he was at Liverpool. Yeah.
What about Alan Smith?
Which one?
The Arsenal one. Did he play in the Premiership though?
He was well rated.
No, he didn't play in the Premier League, did he?
Yeah, he did. I think a couple of seasons. Yeah, they won the Cup in 94.
I think Alan Smith was underrated.
Do you think?
I think so.
I mean, he played for England a few times. It's a difficult one. It really is a difficult one. Just that one place. I mean, the other ones, I think apart from the goalkeeper, every other position, we pretty much agreed on.
Yeah, this one's a difficult one. I'll say so far, the names, it's got to be Dion Dublin out of all the names.
You reckon?
That we've mentioned.
Let me go back to what the listeners said. Let's have a look. In terms of strikers, I mean, Hasselbank, was he underrated?
No.
Not really.
Danny Murphy, could he play that number 10 role?
No. Only if he played against United, Danny Murphy, anyway.
What about John said about Troy Deeney? Would he be in an underrated 11?
No.
Aaron says Berbatov, but Berbatov was class, man.
Berbatov, God.
It's an insult to Berba.
Or shall we just stick another central midfielder in there?
What, 4-5-1?
4-5-1. Or 4-4-1-1.
Cram it all in. Just get Danny Murphy in there.
Alright, so we'll play Phillips. What about if we find a number 10?
Okay, go on. So, who?
My man, Muzzy, is it?
Paul Mercer.
Ooh, yeah, but he was rated, man. Come on. He was rated, wasn't he? What about Ashley Young?
What about him?
Is he a 10 though?
No.
Right, put him wide right or wide left and put Damien Duff. I don't know. Playing Championship Manager here. We actually forgot to mention Graham Lasso.
Yeah,
Yeah, good shout. Yeah.
Or Andy Hinchcliffe.
Yeah, true. What about, I was going to say the Canio, but the Canio was very highly rated, wasn't he? James Beattie, would he be up there?
Ooh.
James Beattie, yeah, he was underrated.
Ooh. That's a good shout.
That's a brilliant shout.
You got big man, little man there again as well.
You know what? He scored an every goal, about 20 goals a season for a long time.
Yeah.
Guys, I got one for you lot. Peter Crouch.
Yeah, Crouchy's a decent shout.
He scored goals everywhere.
Would we?
Was he underrated though?
Wait,
this is what I'm thinking.
What about? I don't know if you agree, but what about Peter Beardsley, a player in his generation? You know, if he played in the Premier League now, he'd have been ripping it to bits, wouldn't he?
He was a player, mate.
He did so well at Newcastle as well, didn't he?
I loved him when he was at Liverpool. Peter Beardsley's one of my favourite players.
Kanu, would he be in there?
Good no. shout.
Well,
he was rated though, wouldn't he?
Yeah. He was, yeah.
Okay, how about this one? Ida Gudjonsson.
Ooh, good shout. Ooh,
yeah, that was a good, yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, I love him. I love that guy.
Ida Gudjonsson, yeah, he was.
Yeah, but we're making it easy for Stella. No, let's find something else.
I'll be honest with you, Kevin Phillips is 100%.
Yeah.
And the two now mentioned, was it, is it Kevin Davis and Gudjonsson? Really good shouts, them two. I'd go with either one, to be honest.
Well, Beattie or Gudjonsson, yeah?
Beattie.
I'd go Gudjonsson because he had more class.
You know what? Underrated. I don't think you say for someone who played for Barcelona was underrated, so I'll go for Beattie as well.
Yeah. It's true. He was at Barca as well, either, wasn't he?
Won Champions League.
Yeah, true. But, yeah. Was he more of a squad player, though? You can say that about Arda Turan. He was a Champions League winner, wasn't he?
To be fair, still, Tor-Andre Flo was a proper better shout than Gudjonsson.
Yes, that's the thing. Like, he was one of the first names I thought of. In fact, even before goalkeeper, before defence, I thought Tor-Andre Flo because he contributed so much to Chelsea. And that was a time when they had Vialli. They had
definitely.
They had Kasiragi. Yeah. I know Kasiragi didn't do too much, but you know they had Zola. They were blessed with so many players in that attacking position, and Flo was always, he was like Solskjaer, but for some reason, a lot of people, Chelsea fans especially that I know, you know, they really love him. But like I said, the modern day Chelsea fan will talk more about your Hasselbanks or your, I don't know, your Morata.
What about if we go for a number 10, Yuri Djorkaeff?
Oh, Andy, World Cup winner, come on.
Yeah, he was great.
He's 25,
wasn't he?
Yeah.
Did
Akocha
number 10.
Yeah.
Oh, Akocha. All right, well, I've gone Beattie then. I'm going Beattie and Phillips up top.
Okay.
I'm happy with that.
Rod, you going to go Beattie?
Yeah, I'm going to go. You know why? Because he'd score over 20 goals a season and he didn't really move into a big club. So yeah, I'll go Beattie.
Jan?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Beattie as well.
He's folded.
Yeah. I mean, I could see what the lads are saying about Gudjonsson. The fact that he played for maybe a bigger club and he went to Barcelona, maybe he was more rated than the other two. So, Beattie, he did well at Southampton, he did well at Everton.
Yes, yeah, it's a good chat.
You know, yeah. I had an Arsenal fan telling me Mark Overmars, but Overmars was always a quality player.
Proper.
You know, he was incredible, absolutely incredible. And 0-60 in 5 seconds, mate.
What about Sylvain Wiltord? Did we say that? Wiltord.
No, we haven't mentioned him.
No.
But again, he scored in the European Championships final, didn't he?
Yeah,
French World Cup winner.
Yeah.
He won the league at Old Trafford, so.
Yeah.
Why do you have to mention that?
Well, because I always get rated, you know, slated. I always talk about Liverpool, so I thought I'd throw one in about us.
All right, so let's go with James Beattie then. Let's give him that because, you know, let's be fair to the guy. He had quite a decent career.
Yeah, definitely.
I like the way he took penalties as well. He used to turn around from the ball, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And then smash
him top corner. To mean,
yeah.
And to be fair, if you look at his goal scoring record, I mean, he played, was it about 440 odd games? He scored 131. And that wasn't bad when you take into consideration he was at Southampton for about 7 years, he was at Everton for a couple, Sheffield United, Stoke. Didn't have a great time at Rangers, but, you know, but. Yeah, I had 5 caps for England as well.
Yeah.
Means nothing, so did Michael Ricketts.
Well, okay, fair enough. Don't throw his name in now, please. Okay, so our team, our underrated 11, Brad Friedel in goal, the back four of Dennis Irwin, Sammy Hupia, Steve Bruce and Ian Hart, the midfield of Sean Wright Phillips, Gary Speed, Ray Parlin, Damien Duff, and up front, Kevin Phillips and James Beattie.
What about Dean Holdsworth?
Oh, Holdsworth, yeah. And do you know what? He had a thing with Lindsay Dawn McKenzie as well, so I've got to give it to him there, man. Sorry, that's out loud.
that team is brilliant, mate, for an underrated side.
I think so.
Guys, I might text you lot at like 1 in the morning and go, I found one.
Well, look, everyone's going to have their own opinion. I mean, you know, Dan DeLuca, as I said before, he came up with a 3-5-2 system with some players. And I think we didn't base this team. We based this team based on position. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, we're going to play this one as an inverted winger and this and that. If he's left-footed, he's going wide left. If he's right-footed, he's going wide right, so to speak. And we're not playing players out of position. So if you're going for a standard 4-4-2 or a traditional 4-4-2, It's a good team. It's a very good team. And you can see it is, tactically definitely. That it would work.
All right, I've got one for you guys. Who's the manager?
That's a good one. We didn't think about that one. Jan, I very good. That. Underrated, Rod?
Yeah.
Who was it? Who did Rod say?
Harry Redknapp.
That's a good shout.
Just throw the name out there doesn't mean it's right.
What about David O'Leary?
Oh,
he wasn't long enough though, was he? Where's he now? In India somewhere.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, the last time he was at the United Arab Emirates, wasn't he?
What about Jean Tigger now? They got Fulham promoted.
Yeah.
No, he went. No, he had a stick in his mouth now, forget it.
Oh, for crying out loud.
No. That was wicked, that stick.
Peter Reid.
Peter Reid, yeah, for what he did at Sunderland, yeah.
Yeah. Steve Coppell.
Yes. Yes. Oh.
I like the Charlton manager.
Kirbishley.
Kirbishley, yeah.
Yeah, because the minute he left, Charlton went to pot.
Yeah, but you know, Steve Coppell, he did well everywhere he went. Okay, apart from City, where he lasted about 3 days. But... So Peter Swales will thought, nah. Francis Lee offering him his wig.
Oh, God. I'm going Kirbishley.
Kirbishley? He did well at West Ham, didn't he? Didn't he? Was he at Reading? He wasn't at Reading, was he?
No.
He was at West Ham, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he kept West Ham up, didn't it? They beat us. Here we go, Rod. Another one for you. They beat us
in
the season, didn't it? And that's when we got Tevez. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked Kirbishley. Thought it was decent.
Yeah, managed Charlton.
He did for years as well. He kept them there for years, didn't
it? Well, like I said, the minute he left Charlton, they went to pot. I think they got relegated this season after. And they used to finish 8th and 9th in the league. Charlton.
They got relegated with Stel's mate, Pardew.
Oh, bloody hell. Thanks for mentioning him.
what about Danny Wilson?
Jesus, Danny Wilson.
Oh, well, why don't we just throw in the fellow that's at Wimbledon and then went to Newcastle? What's his name?
Olsen, the guy with the boots.
No. I forget his name. Joe Kinnear. Yeah. With Johan Kebab.
start. This is a pass from the blaster. I'm going to go back now. Who else shall I think of?
Olsen with the boots. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah. Egil Olsen, yeah. 4-5-1. 4-5-1.
Christian Gross.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Again, it's a completely different show now. It's a completely different show.
He's got an Oyster card.
Yeah. It was a travel card, wasn't it? It was the orange travel card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am going to travel from the ground.
We had some characters in this league, innit?
Oh, mate, it was terrible. It was terrible. What about the American fellas at Swansea for a bit?
Oh, my God.
Bruce,
who? Bradley?
Bob Bradley, yeah.
Bob Bradley.
Have you seen when he does it in soccer here?
Yeah, it's brilliant, that is.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, crikey. Okay, so we're going to go with Curbs as the manager, yeah?
Yeah. Well, I like Curbs.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. That's our underrated 1-11. I wasn't going to throw in John Gregory or Brian Little or I don't know, Brian Kidd. I don't know. So that's it, ladies and gents. Hope you enjoyed this edition of Shoot the Defence. Before I go, guys, Twitter handles. Jan?
Panic Destroy.
Rod?
Rod James Giggs.
Andy is suspended.
I'm suspended at the moment.
Is it a 5-day suspension or is it just a permanent one?
7 days.
7 days. Oh, that's all right. So you're Craig David now.
Yeah.
Great. So we'll just remind our listeners your Twitter handle when you become active again.
It's at @little_andy78.
BEA. Beautiful. Well, we have a Twitter handle at Shoot Defence. You can follow me at Uncle Stell. We have a Facebook group page, and that's it. So yeah, please feel free to visit fnx.network, where you can listen to some more superb podcasts. And that's it. So guys, until next time, take care.